With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It is the Anfield Wrap on this Monday that marks, at least in my mind, I don't know about yours, but the end of the 2019-2020 season. We are beginning to wrap it all up on the Anfield Wrap. And what we've got to come for you is different season reviews on audio and video. On audio, we're looking at the season one block of games at a time. We're not doing our usual thing where we all sit together and give our sort of lowdown on the season and what needs to change because Liverpool are league champions. There's been a reason to do that over and over and over again, although it does bear repeating that Liverpool are league champions. We're going to do that for you right now. And over video as well, we're going to have a series called My Favourite Game, which is people telling the story of the season through their favourite football matches as they've wore on. But we are going to do this season review in the way in which we usually do it. So to join me, I've got John Gibbons, Paddy Fitzsimmons, Gareth Roberts, Amelia Bonner, Craig Hannan, and I shall also give mine. And in the middle, there'll be a little clip from our Alison Becker interview as well. So that's something for everyone to look forward to there. But your final thoughts, well, it'll never be your final thoughts, John. It'll always be with you. But your thoughts on 2019-2020, the year Liverpool won the league.
Yeah, finally, yeah, and we did it. And you know, I'd love to say that, you know, from minute one, I was completely convinced that this year was going to be our year. But I don't think that was necessarily the case just because of what City had done the last two. And it's been nice listening to and watching the roundups, the season reviews that the audio and video team have put together, because it reminds you of your feelings, you know, back in August and back when, you know, when it was all starting out and you were saying, well, what do we hope for? What do we, you know, aspire to? What do we want? And for me, it was very much a one another title challenge and hopefully we can go on better. We didn't get a title challenge this year, but only because the Reds were too good. The Reds were just so much better than everyone else. And that was completely unexpected for me anyway. City obviously dropped off. They ended up losing a lot more games. And the Reds were just so relentless. And that was, you know, the feeling of week after week when they just keep winning and winning and winning. And, you know, Jürgen had and the team had this thing where it was just all about the next game. And I think we all sort of ended up buying into that, really. So even though what they were doing was remarkable, you had to sort of take a step back and realise. And, you know, it was only when people started talking about records and, like, do you realise, you know, this is the best start to... First of all, it was, you know, the best start Liverpool have ever done. Then it was the best start any English team have ever done. And then you started looking at, the, you know, the top five leagues and all that and saying it's still the best, you know. And, you know, when we beat them, that Preston team from the 1890s, which I've always hated, Neil, that was, you know, the real sort of glory moment for me. And, you know, it started sort of getting ridiculous, and because you were so kind of focused on, you know, just win, because that's what you knew they had to do and that's what they felt they had to do, you know, every now and again you just look at the league table and you just laugh, because, you know, we've been that many points behind the leaders before, but we've never, you know, seen it being us. And it was brilliant, and what they did was phenomenal, you know, all season, really. You know, there might not have been as many sort of statement performances or huge wins as maybe the previous 2-3 years, but what they always did was find a way to beat the team in front of them. You know, players came in and out, you know, obviously the goalkeeper being a huge loss at the start, I thought how they dealt with that was incredible. Different players peaked at different times, which is what you want. And although I said before, you know, there wasn't tons of, you know, amazing nights in terms of, you know, oh, what a performance that was coming out. You know, they were always so professional. They were always so good. And they were always sort of better than the opposition, or right up to Watford. And then they very much weren't, which is just, you know, one of the strangest things about the whole thing, really, is that it took a team who've, you know, obviously now gone down to beat us, and beat us they did. But it was done by then. I mean, it was done by Boxing Day, really. You know, it was, that was when... you know, really it was, you know, we came into this year knowing it was just a possession, and it was a slightly longer possession than what we wanted because of everything that went on, but that's kind of what it was. And I feel lucky to have watched this team, not just this season, but for a few seasons now. Obviously feel very lucky that Jurgen Klopp came here, because I think, you know, for all the good job a lot of people have done, you know, within the football club, and for all the impact certain signings have made, I think without Jurgen, I'm not sure it necessarily does happen. And that's not to say that Liverpool never would have won the league ever again, because there'll always be someone else, and there'll always be new times, and there'll always be new dynasties and kings, and, you know, suns rising and falling and things like that. But at the same time, I think, you know, I think it took Jurgen to come in at that time to transform the club, to make everyone walk taller again, and to put the steps in place, and to give everyone the patience as well. And I think that has been a key thing, because it has took time to get to here, you know what I mean? Jurgen's been, you know, in the job quite a while now, you know, really. But because there's been improvements, because we've always believed in what he's doing, you know, everyone has bought into it. Well, almost everyone, as much as anyone is he going to get, I would argue. And so, you know, while other clubs were, you know, talking about, you know, Jurgen's trophy record, mm-hmm. and while other people say, you know, oh, is he an early man? Does he lose in finals? I don't think there was very, very little of that within Liverpool. We could see we were, you know, we were arguably ahead of schedule when we got beat in Kiev. We could see last season that it took something monumental from City to do us, and we knew we were close. And this year, you know, we just sort of blew everyone away, and it was brilliant. It's a season I'll live long in the memory, and long may continue as well. And, you know, you mentioned there the Alisson interview. I loved doing Milner last week, because, you know, when he was saying about, like, it's almost, you know, criminal if this team doesn't go on to win loads of things now, because that's how good it is. And that's great that's how they feel, because if that's what James Milner's feeling, then that's what the others will be feeling and saying to each other. They'll be looking around, and, you know, they're not going to be chatting about whether Thiago's coming. Do you know what I mean? They're not going to be chatting about, oh, do you reckon we need one or two? They'll be looking around at each other in that dressing room and saying, what we've got now should be winning many, many, you know, big trophies, proper trophies in the next sort of 3-4 years. And that's brilliant. And long may I continue. What they've built is incredible. The culture is amazing. And they just want to win. The serial winners, the mentality monsters. And hopefully this is just the start. And I can't wait to see what they've got in store for us next year.
Everyone, any questions for John Lynham? I've got one big one, which sort of I was already had written down, and it stems off what you're saying there for the last 60 seconds or so. But you mentioned patience. And I think it's really interesting, you know, Milner saying it'd be almost criminal if they didn't go on and do X, Y, and Z. Do you think that patience will remain, both for themselves internally within the group, but do you think that patience will remain externally as well?
I don't understand the question, sorry.
So will people be patient? What my question is more, you know, so you've said about how one of the things that Jurgen brought was patience, that everybody calmed down in a sense and sort of backed the process. Now that we're at the top of the mountain, my question is, do you think that people will remain patient? Or do you think that internally within that group they'll be thinking, we need to get on, we've got to go again. And do you think externally the support base will be like, listen, we've just got to win as much as we can now. Let's not throw this away. We can't throw away dynasties.
Yeah, I think now is the time to be greedy, and I think that's what the players will feel, and they'll look around and know that it's a special group of players that doesn't, you know, come around, you know, all too often. And so I think, you know, maybe you're right, maybe, you know, the time for patience is gone now, and we need to sort of, you know, make sure we're making hay while the sun's shining, really, because the sun is glorious at the moment, isn't it? And I think, you know, we won't want a season next season where we don't necessarily win anything, because that might sort of deflate, and then people might start looking around a little bit more, and then you know, people who were perfectly happy at Liverpool might start saying, well, actually, you know, is it time for me to move? So I can see what you're saying now, and I think within the club, I think more so really, I think, you know, I think outside, you know, for the supporters base, I think, you know, it would, you know, supporters are just like, well, what's next? You know what I mean? Like, whereas I think, you know, for the you know, for the players, I think it is really important for them for keeping this together. And obviously, look, we all want to add, you know, I mentioned Thiago before. I do think we do need to, you know, keep investing. I think that's important. But at the same time, I think these players are more interested in looking around and going, well, you know, what are they going to do? Do you know what I mean? Or what do they think? And if everyone's thinking the same, which it seems they are now, I think that's keeping that and keeping that feeling of, you know, this is a golden time. This is when we do it. This is where I win my trophies, you know, as the players, you know what I mean? I've done all this thing in my club and this is where I do. Now, how it used to be when Xabi Alonso left us to go to Madrid or Mascherano went to Barcelona, he goes there to win. Well, now the people come up to us to win and we do have to keep that.
Okay. Anyone else with any questions? Okay. Next one along is Paddy Fitzsimmons. Review of the season, Paddy. Cut loose.
Yeah, I think before the season started, I think I was quite worried in terms of, I think the year before it took so much out of us. I remember having conversations early on the year before, and it was a thing that was bandied around that we'd have to get 90 plus points or even 100 to win a league. And then I always think looking back now, that was so mad that we just said and we all sort of agreed on it as a thing, but the side just kept winning and going towards it, and then there's sort of a crescendo after. I suppose it's Everton away where they just win every week and then we sort of have to, and you're hoping City drop points as well. And then when it doesn't happen, it's obviously deflating, and then they go to Madrid and they win the European Cup, so it's all right. Then I did fear before the season started, I thought, well, surely they can't do that again. And it was more of a hoping that City aren't quite at that level again, so that we could win it with maybe 90 or a high 80s, because I just thought, you think of what it took out of us towards the back end of last season, never mind the players. And I just thought, would it be possible again? So to start the season, I was worried we might not be able to. I knew we'd be in a title race, but I was worried if we had enough to achieve what we'd done the year before in terms of points. And as the season started, I was quite relaxed about it because I thought, oh, I'll just enjoy it. Now there's that weight of winning the European Cup off your shoulders. You know, we've won a big one. You know, if we don't win a league, it's not no one's got God-given right to do. We haven't done it for 30 years. No, this side's got that. They've got the European Cup, it's all right, do you know what I mean? They had the parade, they seen how big the club was, and that was okay for me. And then I remember being I went travelling in the summer, so I missed the start of the season, which is not something I'd never normally do. And I remember being in a bar in Bali watching the Southampton game and it feeling like the biggest thing in the world, and it was the second game of the season. I was like, well, it's going to be like it's going to be like that all over again. Like, if this is what it means now. And again, like, if Southampton, obviously, looking at how the season went, it would have been fine, really, to draw that game. But at the time, it wasn't. And it's so significant that we did win that game, because it sort of reminded us, and probably the players as well, that, listen, yeah, I've got to win every week. It's going to be like that again. And sort of picking up on what Gibbo said about the fact that we were never really in a title race. One of the things, like, when you reflect about the season, I think about a lot is we sort of were and we forgot about it. Like, there's a period of fixtures here in the league that I've written down, and it's Chelsea away. Then we have Sheffield United away, Leicester home, United away, Spurs home, Villa away. And then it finishes off at City at home, which a lot of people sort of see as the one where you really, we go nine clear of them, don't we? And that's sort of the one where people say it was won that day. And I always look back and I remember thinking at the time, Jordan, that group of fixtures, that, you know, this is a title race, even if it's only a race against ourselves, these are the games that we really need to win. And they were all sort of cup finals in their own right. So Chelsea away is, we go two up and then they pull one back, and then sort of the last half hour is one of them where any other year you sort of feel like a Liverpool side might have caved under that pressure and it might have been 2-2, and again 2-2 is fine away at Chelsea, but in our heads it wasn't, and we had to get through that. Sheffield United away is one I'll always be close to me and I'll always remember, because that's one of them games where you sort of think that I've seen Man United win these games so many times over the years, and it was the half 12, it's the early kickoff. We go 8 clear that day, and I remember thinking that was massive because it put the pressure back on City, who went to Goodison and they won. But it was still that thing of, well, we've done our job and we'll keep doing our job and see if you can keep up with us. Leicester at home is one of them. Leicester started well, and obviously it's the last minute thing, and I remember being on the ground that day, and it was sort of like a thing of, like, I remember celebrating for like 5 minutes. You celebrated the initial penalty, then it was the VAR thing, then the penalty went in, then the final whistle comes straight after. And it was just, and it was one of them proper, like, this could be one of the biggest days of our lives, December, it's September or whatever. But I remember that. And then United away always reminded me of Chelsea away the year before, where a draw is fine, and the way in which you get the draw sort of means, you know, at the moment, and keeps going, this is going to do good for us here. Spurs at home, we go down and what, the first 30 seconds or whatever, and still manage to turn that round. Villa away is obviously the obvious one that a lot of people might say is the game of the season, and with everything that was going on at the time, I think that's a Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff, and City are playing the same time.
Yeah.
And then when you go and beat them the week later to go 9 clear, I think it wasn't won then, but that felt massive. And that group of games, I always look back and think that was a proper title race, and I don't think that's possible without the year before. Like, a lot of people talked about the importance of getting 97 points the year before, and around this time I remember thinking this isn't a one year league campaign where you win in that season. This has become a two season long thing, and had we not got 97 the year before and pushed right to the very end, this so far wouldn't have been possible. And then when I think about them games, I think, did I think it was won after City at home, which sort of marks the end of this period of games that I've referenced there? And I don't think I sort of did. I think, I don't know if it's just the way I've always been about a league title, that I could never relax. But what was most comforting through it, and the best thing about the whole season, was you felt like the players are just as close to us and they think the same things. And it felt like they could never relax either. And they were thinking, well, we've got to keep winning again because 9 points clear isn't enough. If we win again, and they kept winning and winning and winning. And then it sort of become this thing. I remember speaking to you about it, Neil, on shows, where every game sort of became a final. You know, they say it's 38 cup finals, but that's never been more true. Early on in December, Brighton at home, that's 2-1. And I remember when the final whistle went, because they sort of get that goal. They get that weird free kick goal, don't they, where he kicks under the wall and no one's quite ready for it to be taken. It's sort of a bit snide. That lesson's been sent off, and they pulled one back. And even then, I think Adrian drops one in the last minute that he shouldn't really drop, and then jumps on it, and that was a big celebration. Then a few seconds later the whistle goes, and that was another one similar to Leicester at home, where you're bouncing out of these grounds thinking that's another one off the list, that's another cup final one, as if it was a European knockout game or whatever, and you were just knocking these games off the list. There's Wolves at home at Christmas where we score, and there's a bit of needle because they equalise and he gives it loads, and then they get ruled out for VAR, and then that was a proper game that you'd probably argue them Wolves home and away with the two toughest fixtures of the season. In a sense, they give us a really good game. But again, it was one of them. It's Christmas. It's one of the fixtures that you really could do with winning. Obviously, the Leicester away game would come before that. And that was obviously just a celebration of this team. But the Wolves game sort of, I don't know, in a way, is more my kind of game, where they have to scrap and they have to be a bit gritty and get through it, but also show quality in a sense, because you're playing against a great side. And then the other game I broke down in terms of feeling like a final, despite the fact that we're miles clear at this point, is Norwich away, when again he didn't have to win that. It was fine. The draw would have been fine by that point. It wouldn't have mattered at all, but they wouldn't stand for it. And Wolves away as well, which is another one where again a draw would have been fine. But all these things, and Gibbo mentioned Watford, which comes a few weeks later. I remember being gutted after Watford and thinking I shouldn't feel like this. But in a way, looking back, I made up I was gutted, because it's a sign. That's what this team had made me feel like. They made me feel like that Invincibles was possible, or that we should win every game, and that any dropping points is a bad thing. And you got the sense they were gutted about it as well, because they'd convinced themselves of that as well. And I think all these things have made the season, I mean, it's the best season of our lives because we've won the league, but also it's a story in the sense that you go from last year where it's so close, but they've sort of done the same thing, to just being that brilliant again and again and again this year, that it's sort of not even become a question about if we were going to win. It was more of a question of when. And you build towards the end of the season. Obviously, the lockdown came in, and I think the biggest shame when it was all the uncertainty around whether we were going to finish the season was, I always think of football seasons just, I mark football season the way I mark years in my life, and I thought, well, we can't lose Villa away, where it was early November and these things are going on in life. You don't want to lose these things because it matters so much. And that's my favourite thing about this season. I can mark every single weekend, and I can remember everything I was doing around that time because of how close it meant Liverpool were to a league title. But the fact that we got our hands on at the end just makes it so special, and I think it's just the most brilliant season you'll ever live, and I hope we get to live many more of them.
Okay. Anyone, any questions for Paddy?
I just want to ask you about Paddy. Obviously, there's sort of two different generations on this call. There's three of us who can remember Liverpool winning trophies, even if we were young enough, well, not old enough to celebrate it quite like we celebrated this one. And then there's obviously you three who weren't born when Liverpool last won it. And it's hard to, I'm going to ask you now sort of what the difference is. And it's an almost impossible question because you don't know any different. You've only got sort of your life. But I'm just wondering, like, what's the sort of 30-year thing for someone who is younger than 30 years? You know what I mean? So yeah. Do you remember first being conscious that it had been a long time since Liverpool had won the league? You know, are you as bothered about the 30 years because it went, you haven't experienced them all, or you're even more bothered because, you know, you can say to us, look, you've lived all 30, but at least you got 1990s, you know what I mean? What's that kind of like dynamic like for you, if you can explain it?
Yeah, it's weird because I always think back to that flat Earth, the show, and I remember Neil and Kobe and things talking about how it's different for their generation because they've had the European Cup and never had the league and they lived it all. But I remember thinking, like, well, you got the European Cup, though. And I was 7 in Istanbul when we won and I didn't go and stuff. And I always remember thinking, that doesn't really count. And then I'd had the League Cup, which I was lucky enough to go to against Cardiff since. But that was nothing. And I always thought, like, I think with our generation in the league, I think it's weird because it is hard to explain. But I've always got weird reference points about it. So I always remember thinking, the league was always the one I wanted and it was always the one I craved because it was sort of that thing that we'd never had. So before 2008-2009, we were never really in a title race that I could remember of. I mean, it was never a thing. And it was never spoken about, really. Maybe it was because I wasn't in adult friendship groups where they would talk about challenging for the league title. But I would go to school with my mates and we'd never speak about winning the league. It was always like, well, we can't do that. That's what Man United do. Then Chelsea came along and that was like, well, they've got all that money and they can buy all these boss players that we hear about on FIFA, so they're going to do it now. And it was just never, winning a league title was never a thing. And then in better seasons, I always remember like little silly things. I remember leaving the ground, Tottenham at home, last game of the season in 2008-2009. And I remember my uncle saying like, oh, it'll be our year next year. Like, you've had one title race now and then you build on it and you go again. And I remember being convinced the whole summer, well, it's on. You get close and then the next year you learn from it and do it. And I think you finished 7th that year. Yeah. In 2009-10 and thinking, well, when does it happen? Then 13-14, I think I was doing my GCSEs that year and I'm thinking, like, this is the one. Like, this is the fairy tale story. We wouldn't win it with Rich Owners and we'll win it this way and it might just be a flash in the pan, but at least we'll get one. And then that's, like, the heartbreaking side of it. You're like, I didn't see this coming at all. Like, he literally says, let's not let it slip. And then he slips and you're like, this is just never meant to happen. And I think, when you said about, is it more of a thing because you didn't live the whole 30s, I've always been consciously aware just from like Christmas parties with my uncles and my dads that the league's always been a thing that's been spoken about and this is what we've got to win because it was what we always won. But it's never close to happening. And then the times that has been close to happening, it's always fell away. So like in such a heartbreaking and such a cruel way. Even last year, I remember last Christmas being convinced and speaking to all my uncles and they were like, this is the best side I've ever seen, this is the one that win it. And then we get 97 and don't. And I remember thinking like almost close to packing in and think like, this is all I want is to see Liverpool win a league. Like, Madrid was amazing and things and I wasn't in the ground and things, that took nothing away from it. I'd accepted that was fine, but I always thought like, well, if I see Liverpool win the league, I'll have been fortunate enough to go to a lot of the games along the way, especially the home games, and it'll be my thing. And it's sort of that thing of the league. I don't know if you can compare them, the league and the European Cup, but the league, I sort of feel a sense of ownership with the league because I remember what it was like in October. I remember how I felt leaving the ground after Leicester at home. I remember Villa away in November. I remember Bath and Everton close, like early on in December and things. And it's sort of like, it's referenced a lot, but it's like a body of work and it's something that I've thought about since I was a kid because there's been this previous week before I was even born. But also I've got no reference points to what it's like winning it because when I look at them last lifting the league title, it's not the thing that I've grew up with being on Sky. It's not the same trophy. It's not the trophy they've got on Sky Sports or Match of the Day. It's so I've always just thought, when will it ever happen? I think Neil asked me a few weeks ago, like, when will it sink in that we've won it? And I said, I need to see them with the trophy because all my life I can never picture that trophy on the Anfield pitch kind of thing. So it's been that thing of, it's weird for us because we've never known what it would be like until now.
Okay. Great stuff, Paddy. Fitzsimons, by the way, not Fitzsimmons. Okay. Pass over now. Next one. Gareth Roberts.
Hiya. I think you've got to start with this team to just say that they're absolutely phenomenal.
And I think it's right that we talk about the season that preceded the season that we win it, because that 97 points, look, I know we always, you know, not least me, talking Shankleyisms at times and, you know, the first is first and all that kind of stuff, but that 97-point season was phenomenal. And, you know, there's only the one defeat to Manchester City. There's seven draws. Chelsea, City. We're fortunate to draw with City at home. There's the Mahrez penalty situation. Then Arsenal away, Leicester at home, West Ham away, Man United away and Everton away. The way I was thinking about it at the start of this season is, if you're Linders, if you're Klopp, if you're that team and you're sitting down and you're saying, OK, where can we improve? Then it's obviously the drawn games. I think the Man City one, certainly away, you'd almost throw that up in the air a little bit and say, we don't rely on anything from that, because that can go either way, because we know how brilliant they are. But the rest of them, it's up to you boys. And, you know, you look at what they've done, you start to break down what they've done beyond just that they won the league. They were phenomenal to win the league. There's so many things around it that should be lifting everyone every single day about this side. So, you know, unbeaten at home in three seasons is unbelievable. Unbeaten at home in three seasons. You know, if you're a season ticket holder and you're going wherever in the ground, I know we've had the thing with the COVID and we missed a couple, but, you know, you've got every other Saturday and you're just watching your team routinely win and definitely not getting beat. And, you know, but even that, you know, when you start to break that down, like 17, 18 at home, we won 43 points. We won 12, 2, 7, lost 0. We followed that up by winning 17, drawing 2, 53 points. And then this season, there's only the Burnley game that stops it from being absolutely perfect. 18, won 18, drawn 1, lost 0. And that's unbelievable. And also, I think in that game, you see how upset they are that they've dropped those points. You know, I'm thinking Robertson and I'm thinking Trent with those videos that come out where they're absolutely getting stuck into the ref. You know, that shows you. You know, I think we throw it around all the time about mentality and about the culture, but that's shown to me how much they do want it and how much they do want every record going, how much they do want to keep winning, how much they're proud to be doing what they're doing. And, you know, I thought that was absolutely phenomenal when that was going on away from home as well. I think, you know, I've not really heard it sort of broken down in this manner. And so I started breaking it down myself. And guess what? You know, it's a pretty picture. Like, so we've won 44 points away from home two seasons running now. Last season, City matched that. The season just gone. The 10 points behind us, they only win 34 on the road. So, you know, it's this consistent level of performance over and over again is amazing. And, you know, you think as well about the players that are almost always on the pitch, you know, two seasons where Virgil van Dijk is playing in every single game and things like that. Again, phenomenal. Again, says everything you need to know about the mentality. We know in the past that there have been players, without throwing anyone under the bus, who were probably not happy, but, you know, if they had a niggle, they wouldn't play. Whereas I think, you know, most of the lads that we've got at the club right now are the complete opposite. They want to go out there. They want to play their part. They feel like they're part of a squad and a team and a club and a situation where they go out and give absolutely everything. And I think, you know, that hasn't always been the case. Also, three away defeats this time around, but two of them are post the title. And one of the draws is post the title. So you know, the way I broke down that other season before, if you're talking about the games where you now look to improve on because you dropped a couple of points, we haven't got much to go at. Because City and Arsenal are post the title, like I said. The other's Watford, which got a mention before. Then we draw with Burnley, post the title. And so the draws away against United and Everton are the ones where you say, well, that's where we've got to look to improve next time. That's where we break 100 points, boys. And I don't doubt that that's what's being said, because I think what Paddy said before was spot on in that, you know, not very long ago, you would all be looking at each other like you were mad if you were talking about 97 points and 99 points and breaking 100 points. And now we're blasé about it. Now we're just like, oh, yeah, that's what we do and that's what we'll do again next season. But I do think that they can go and do it again next season, because, like, all the way through, like, I had a look at the, you know, the goals We scored 89 goals last season. We scored 85 this season. Salah gets 19 in the league. Mane gets 18. Last season, they both got 22. So, you know, right across the team, front and back, you know, what they're doing. Like, it's the best defence in the league again this season, only 33 conceded in 38. And that's with conceding 3 to Chelsea and 4 to City post-title. The reason I keep saying post-title is because it's massive, because there's a huge drop-off. There's a huge drop-off in terms of what they're doing once they do it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Lots was made of it. But there's nothing wrong with that. When the jeopardy's back, when there's something on the line again, when they're attacking the next title, I fully believe that they revert to what they were doing before. Last season, best defence in the league, only conceded 22 goals. But it goes all the way to the wire, that one. It's done on the last day. I think if this one was being done on the last day and City could have stayed with our pace, which they couldn't, then you're seeing, you know, you're seeing similar figures being posted again. In terms of the number of goals being conceded in games, in the last 8, it's an average of 1.5, which is 72% higher than what they were doing before. So, you know, this is a thing. The drop-off is a thing. And they've got 99 points despite the drop-off. They broke loads of records despite this drop-off. They won the league earlier than anyone else won it. And they won it by like an incredible display of consistency and level of performance, coupled with nous, coupled with spirit, coupled with positivity. What I've loved about the season, and in general the last couple of years, is that I feel like it's inbuilt in humans to almost look for something that could go wrong, look for a negative, look for a reason to say this is why we now can't do something. And I think Liverpool have been the complete opposite to that. And to get, you know, 22 lads plus to be on the same page on that. So, you know, like the Qatar thing, you know, going out to Qatar, you could have blamed that for a drop-off. Instead, they come back and beat the nearest rivals in the table at the time, 4-0, with one of the performances of the season. You know, we've got to play two games in 24 hours, which is ridiculous. You just don't cry arse about it too much. You just put the kids in and say, cough for that, and they go to Qatar and they win the World Club Cup and they come back and swat Leicester. So, you know, I feel like all the way through, John mentioned Alisson getting injured in the first game of the season. You know, there's opportunities at loads of turns to feel sorry for yourself, to say this isn't our year. You know, even United away, you know, the referee gives an awful decision. United score from it. You can feel sorry for yourself. A marginal handball, okay, it is handball, and, you know, marginal doesn't matter, but it does though, doesn't it? And what I'm saying is, you know, Mane scores, it doesn't get given. They've had one at the other end. You could feel sorry for yourself. Liverpool didn't, and they turn it round. Lallana gets an equaliser, and, you know, on another day we win with Oxlade-Chamberlain shooting. So all the way through, you know, they haven't been distracted, Liverpool, by what the opportunity was in front of them. And I don't think we should be distracted by any outside voices either, because what we've just witnessed is the team of our lives, the season of our lives. And I get the dynasty thing, and I get let's win more and all that. But I'm bang up for that. Of course I am. I can't wait to see them do it in the ground. I can't wait for them to see them break even more records. But I do feel as though that we've got to keep banging on about how good this season just gone was and how good the season before that was. Because 97 points wins you another title in any other year. So, you know, OK, second is nowhere. Well, it's not though, Bill, because they got 97 points. I'm sure if our Bill was here, you know, he'd agree with me, because there was no bottling it. There was no feeling sorry for themselves. You know, I just think they've been a treat all the way through. They've been a huge treat, and that mental strength is second to none. I always think as well about the pressure of it all. You think about all the managers, including Klopp, by the way, who called it a backpack and all that when he arrived. You know, every manager's called it something. Heavy shirt if you were Brendan, backpack if you were Jürgen Klopp. But it's the same thing. It was with Liverpool being such a well-supported club and regarded as an elite club but not being able to spend elite club money. The pressure on these lads and on the managers is I would say, I don't think I'm being over the top, it's second to none to try and win that league. And that's why so many have cracked, and that's why so many have failed. And for these to just be able to brush that under the carpet and every week win, every week turn round situations into a win, every week get over the adversity that you have to get over to win a league, that's what's been so brilliant about them. all the way through this season. And I've looked up one more stat. I've had a bit of a stat afternoon, to be honest with you. Not normally fully my bag, but I just wanted to sort of really get over about how good they are. So this season just gone, the majority of Liverpool wins have actually been obtained with a margin of 2 goals or more. 18 wins were 2 goals or more. And I keep hearing people say, oh, they didn't really turn it on. But that's all right, you know. 2 goals or more every, like, 18 times. And 14 wins with a 1 goal margin. And I think, you know, there has been a nous issue. There's no two ways about that. There's been plenty of games where they've just won, and I get that. Or they've decided that the game's won and they've kept something in the tank for the next game. But, you know, you compare that to the season before, and there's obviously only 2 points between the two seasons. It was 20 wins then by a margin of two or more, with 10 being a 1 goal margin. So there's been a small shift towards more 1 goal margin games. And so I get why some people might say, oh, well, you know, it was kind of not, like someone tweeted me, said it wasn't that spectacular, but we just got it done. And I was like, well, define spectacular. I mean, Leicester City played them off the park. Man City at home, we beat them 3-1. You know, we absolutely battered Everton, which has been referenced there, 5-2 in the derby. You know, let's not be blasé about some of the performances we've seen this season. So, yeah, I just want to, you know, constantly hail them for what they've done, not just this season, but last season, because it's some level of performance that over 2 years.
Okay. Any questions for Gareth?
I was just going to ask, Robbo, you mentioned, you know, like the drop-off post-title. Do you worry at all that, you know, obviously post-lockdown, it was easy for them to look at it as these two games that they had to get through. And obviously, it only turned out to be 4 points because City dropped points at Chelsea. And it's all a bit mad. There's no one in the ground. Do you worry at all about the start of next season if, obviously, it's unlikely that we're going to be back in grounds for some time, really, that, you know, where some games the crowd might have given them a lift and got them over the line? Do you worry that, or do you just think we're that good now that this isn't going to be a factor?
I think it has been a little bit of a factor. Like I thought the Aston Villa one was probably among the worst in that, you know, it was kind of the game where there was a stage in the performance where I kind of thought if we were in the ground now, we'd remind them here that they need to crack on. And we weren't there, and it sort of, there was a bit of a drop off in performance, and then they get it done. I think next season for me, we still don't know when, of course, but, you know, October's sort of being mentioned and things like that. I think there's going to be a carrot dangling there for them that soon you do get the crowd back, that soon you do get the fans back in the ground. And I think it's interesting sometimes gegging in on conversations of other fans online and things like that, because I've seen City fans talk about how they think Liverpool is very much a side that's pushed on by their crowd, by what we do at Anfield, and they talk about that's why they think we've been brilliant for three seasons at home. I think there is something in that, but I'm hoping and praying that not too much of next season is behind closed doors. We know some of it will be, but I also think about the you know, the Palace performance and also the Chelsea performance at home. I just think whatever got said behind the scenes in those games, they found the level then. They were able to put it out of their minds that there was no crowd there. So, you know, you're still seeing them perform under those conditions. I just think when Everton's were set to naught as well, that they'll just be desperate to do it again, that they'll want to go out there and do it again. And I think now as well, there's loads of little factors. I think, you know, there's obviously beef now with City. We can't pretend that it's a fake rivalry or anything like that. You know, I like to stick to my traditional rivalries and won't be convinced otherwise until the last. You know, I was always like this about Chelsea. I was like, no, fuck off. They're not our rivals. I'm not having it. And I've been like that about City. I'm still, you know, for me, there's still Paul Dickhoff and Sean Goater and King Cladsey and all these kind of people. But now I get it. You know, like after the, I thought they were knobheads over the Guards of Honour and stuff like that. I think the manager now has gone full on dickhead about Liverpool as well with the way he's acted in recent times. So, okay, fine. And I just think, you know, you've got that added beef now. And I think it'll be the same again in terms of what you said was spot on, because it was how I felt as well. League campaigns aren't meant to be this, like, stressful, you know, every weekend you're on edge. It's meant to just be like, and we go the match and it's on and we see. because these two sides are so close to each other and have been pushing each other on for the last two seasons. I think you see that again. City are obviously going to be desperate to get the title back. Liverpool are going to be desperate to defend it. And I just think, you know, so from day one of the new season, we'll be there again. That's why every single one of us on this call, everyone listening, you need to go and get some sunshine in you and get charged up because we're going again.
Great stuff. All right, then. Over now to Alisson Becker. A little clip from the interview that he's given to the Anfield Wrap. Let's go to the goalkeeper.
We made the future, but we have to live the present. It's not the best way. It's not the best moment to celebrate and to enjoy football because you have no supporters. You have you can't be together on the streets celebrating. But we have to do our best on this moment. We have to celebrate in the way that we can. You celebrate with your families at home. We celebrate as a team there, and in the end we'll be all together with our minds and with our hearts. But yeah, maybe in a nearly future we can celebrate all together. And the boss already said that we will celebrate, that we will have a proper parade. And yeah, that parade of the Champions League was something I will never forget.
Great stuff there from Alisson. From one bastion of Latin magnificence to another. Amelia Bonner, what is your season review?
Oh, that's the best introduction ever. Maybe slightly differently to John and Paddy, I guess, but I don't think from the outset that I ever doubted that this was going to be the season that it happened. And maybe that's really naive, and maybe that's because I'm just blindly optimistic about everything. But I definitely thought it was going to happen and didn't dare to say it for a very long time. But I just felt like from the outset, it was really clear how different this season was going to be. And that after a season where we'd gone toe-to-toe with City and it was just excruciating, and every single game of ours, every single game of theirs, you didn't feel like you had a moment to breathe. And this season was relentless, but in a different way. I think John said about it being relentless, and it was that sense immediately of, this is going to happen. Like, this is definitely happening, and we're going to get to enjoy it, and we're going to get to watch it. And I think I didn't expect that Alisson would get injured that early on, and that I wouldn't be completely terrified by that. And I didn't expect that I'd have to wait until the last home game of the season to get to watch Bobby score a goal at Anfield in the league. And yet, I still remained completely convinced throughout that it was definitely happening. And I mean, I don't have Robbo's level of stats, but it is absolutely astounding that it takes until fucking February for us to get beat on a leap year, on not even a real day. That's how long it takes for us to get beat. That we wait until the only day in the calendar year out of 4 years that isn't real. That's like that it takes until fucking February in the league for there to be a defeat. And up until that, it's the draw with City. But that's insane. And that in those 38 games, it's three that's lost overall is mental. And I think when I was looking back, I just kind of picked out the moments to me that felt really important. And I think the first one was actually a moment to do with City, not to do with us. And I think City losing to Norwich for me was one of the first moments that I went, this is fucking happening. This is definitely happening. And it's because we'd played earlier that day, and it was the Newcastle game where we were 3-1, and we'd come from being behind to finish 3-1. And I think that Newcastle game comes after the Newcastle game the season before that was hellish and felt like you were gripping onto the edge of a ravine by your fingernails, just trying to stay alive. And I think then, so winning 3-1 against Newcastle and then watching City get beat by Norwich, a side that will then go on and get relegated, was just, I think I celebrated that more than I celebrated our game, just because I thought, fucking hell, they actually can't hack it. And it wasn't, it's not just that we weren't going to lose, it was that they could drop points and that they weren't infallible like we seemed to be at that point. And I think then after that, they have a series of significant defeats. So they lose to Wolves, they then lose to us, and it does become apparent that they can't bear it, but we can. And I think then after that, it's Chelsea away, because it's the only away game that I got to go to all season. But that felt like a really big one, because our fixtures kind of that up to that point had been ones that I guess we'd expected to win. And then it was like, it was kind of billed as being like this first big test, and it did feel relatively easy. There's the free kick where Trent scores, and it just looks, I know obviously they get a goal towards the end, but it doesn't matter because we leave and we're 5 points clear as City. And that felt like it was the moment that people were waiting for us to kind of waver or to show that we weren't going to go a season, that we weren't going to be undefeated at that point. And we did. And yeah, I think being there made that one different, because I think it's worth remembering that I listened to a solid chunk of the first half of the season on the radio because there were so many 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturdays that I felt like maybe it all felt a bit more like it wasn't a certain thing for me, because everything on the radio feels more like your heart's in your throat. But up until that point, then it's Leicester, which was the massive one. And I think it was for everyone. And I know it's obvious and I know everyone said it, but I think it's the point at which there becomes a critical mass around this is happening and you're allowed to say it now. Because I think for a lot of us, and like when we talk to Rob or like after shows or even on shows, it'd be a kind of like, shh, don't say it. Because I think it was, we'd been too afraid or felt like it was kind of like cocky and we'd be made to look daft, or like it was almost in bad taste after the season before to be talking about like, it's definitely happening. And then with Leicester, it gets to the point where you just go, it is, like we can say now that this is happening. It becomes clear as daylight that that's going to happen. Because it was such an assured performance, and given Leicester's position in the table at the time and kind of what it meant, it was, that for me was kind of the bit of which I allowed myself to kind of go, right, this is happening. And then we continue to be great. And then there's an excruciating bit that lasts for a really long time where I genuinely did think it was, not that it was over in the sense that we weren't going to win the league, but I thought we'd get to win it in a way that would actually count as an asterisk for some people, in the sense of if it was points for a game, if we didn't actually get to play it, if we didn't get to play and win the league, it would have been something that I guess would have been difficult to swallow as the first time I get to watch us win the league in my entire life. And I think I found that really interesting when Paddy was saying it, because I feel like whenever I've grown up with my brother talking about going to Liverpool games and watch them, and like listening to Steve and like people talking about their lifetime of following Liverpool, and I feel like up until this season and last season, I've almost felt like I'm not quite entitled to our victories. And I feel like maybe that's because I'm not from here, or like I think a lot of it comes from being a woman as well. And I think that this being a season that I was allowed to just absolutely bask in made me feel like this was mine, like I get to enjoy this and this is for me, and I do get to cry like a newborn baby in Love and Rockets just looking at Jurgen Klopp's face as we lift the it's a thing that it felt like it was for me, and that's what I really enjoyed about this season.
Okay, that was fabulous. We said something really interesting about Man City, saying they can't bear it but we can. When I asked John about patience before, I was almost going a similar sort of way, because you mentioned Norwich as well. They drop points against Tottenham and they drop points against Norwich. And what I was almost saying about the patience thing as well is I think, like, when you, like, those results could have gone the other direction. And my point is they could go in another direction for us next season. Do you think that if it does go in the first 8 games a tiny little bit wrong, just a tiny little bit wrong, do you think we'll be able to bear it?
I think it's a different answer for the players and the fans, because I think there's nothing I hate more than being in the ground and feeling like everyone doesn't believe in them. I think there was, it was the Cardiff game at home last season where I was thinking like, we're in a brilliant place in the league table and also we're probably going to win this. And it was just that we weren't being our absolute best. And I kind of wanted to like grab everyone by the scruff of their necks and be like, you're watching the best Liverpool team you're ever going to get to see. Honestly, it's going to be fine. But maybe that's because I stand next to Steve, who will constantly just say well done to every single player. And I think that's why I have that kind of constant belief in them. But I think as long as we can trust that this is at its core, yes, some players will leave and there'll be some changes, but at its core, it's still the team that has won the Champions League and then won the Premier League. Then yeah, as long as we continue to remind ourselves of that, then that's fine. And I think for the players, yeah, it's absolutely fine. It's not a question of it at all. And I know, like, we say mentality monsters a lot and it's like it almost gets overused. But it is true. That's the difference between us and City, is that our players do have that, and they can come up against adversity and defeat and hardship, and they will come out the other side of it winning rather than going, fucking hell, the wheels have come off.
Anyone else with any questions? No? Okay. Craig.
So when I had a big think about this, I sort of came to the conclusion that this should be the most straightforward season review to sum up your feelings. Like on paper, 99 points, you know, we 2 more points than last season, champions and champions by 18 points. You know, watching the Liverpool side achieve something that, you know, Paddy mentioned earlier, that I grew up sort of watching United a match of the day, Roy Keane lifting it, Gary Neville lifting it, and it wasn't this thing that I ever thought was anything to do with us. Like, it didn't feel like any of our business until 08-09, really. It was just this thing that I saw other teams win and other fans get to celebrate and get excited about. And so this season, to be able to watch a Liverpool side achieve something that 29 other Liverpool sides in a row couldn't do, they've given us this thing that we've all wanted and we've all obsessed over. Why it's difficult for me to sort of sum it up is it isn't how I imagined it to be at all. So with Liverpool, during my lifetime of watching them, yeah, I think about how they won both trophies and big games, and it always felt as if they were winning by fine margins. It always felt as if it came down to the last game, the last moments in a side. So you think of the treble in 01, you know, winning the League Cup in penalties, Michael Owen at the death in the FA Cup, the UEFA Cup, and the way we win it on golden goal. You know, I think about 2005, Istanbul, we all know what happens there, 06, the FA Cup final, and even the one that Paddy mentioned as well in 2012, I was at that game as well, and we win it at the death, and I didn't have this feeling of, oh, that was amazing, or, you know, but what I did know was that, oh, Liverpool have just done it the way they always do it, which is winning it at the death, doing it by fine margins and right at the end, and even under Klopp as well, like, we've had that through his whole time. Like, you think about it, with each season, it's always come down to the last game, qualifications for the Champions League against Middlesbrough, against Brighton, Kiev, Madrid, and 97 points, and not quite winning it on the last day. But this season just completely flips it all on its head. We win it at a canter, and sort of, like, even in my head, the way the season planned out sort of was flipped on its head in terms of what I think of as being a title race. So, like, I think of the late wins, the big moments that are meant to sort of make up a title race, and they all come in October and November, as was mentioned before. Like, I've listed the games as well. Like, I'm used to watching title races where those moments come in March and they come in April and May, and it's the last game of the season. Whether Liverpool are involved or not, it's always right at the end. But for this side, those big moments to me sort of fell in October and November. So, you know, you've listed the games earlier on. Like, I've written them down here. They all of these games happen in 56 days. So Sheffield United away, like, I was at that game, the let off and the relief of tension in that moment, the celebration in the away end was, you know, that was like a game in March. Like, that was like a game where, you know, we were edging closer to winning the title, and it was in fucking October. And that's crazy. And from Sheffield United, there's the Leicester at home that we've mentioned the game before, where Milner wins it, that let off, the VAR moment, all of that. United away, the late equaliser as well, coming behind from to beat Spurs. Like, Henderson in that game, he equalises and grabs the ball and runs to the centre circle because he knows he doesn't want to draw, he wants to win it. Villa away, again, that was my moment of the season, the let off again, the huge day, the fact that City will have gone into the dressing room knowing that it was either 1-0 to Villa or one each, and then they have to read on their phones and it spoils another day for Guardiola. But on that day, Robertson equalises and he grabs the ball and he runs straight back to the centre circle, because this Liverpool side knew that they had to just keep winning, they had to just keep pummeling teams and getting through. We talked about cup finals earlier, we had to keep doing that. And even after that, we beat City, we beat Palace right at the death. All of that's within 56 games, and there's a mad Arsenal game in the cup as well, the 5-5 amongst all of that. But that is, in my mind, sort of when we won the league. Like, when I was thinking back throughout the moments of the season, and Leicester often gets mentioned on Boxing Day, and it's funny how your experiences or how you consume the game or watch the game changes your, like, perception or feeling of a certain football match. Because Leicester, for me, I watched it at home because it was home for Christmas. I watched it in a living room with all my mates, none of which were bothered about how Liverpool were doing. None of the girlfriends were bothered about the football that I was ignoring them all for. But what I was watching, with the sound off, by the way, was an absolute masterclass. I was watching, for the first time as a world champion, I was drinking a big glass of wine, watching the world champions and watching a masterclass. And so I wasn't there, and I didn't consume it in the way that I normally would in a pub or surrounded by mates who are sort of, you know, think the same way as I do or support Liverpool. To me, that day wasn't the day that we won it. That was just the day that we took the piss a little bit more. And, and, you know, like, I think about sort of by that stage, like by that stage, we're Super Cup winners. We're in the next round of the Champions League. We've beaten Everton without our big guns and shit ourselves before the game when we see Origi and Shaqiri playing and then they both score and I'm made to make, you know, I'm made to look a fool. We're champions of the world and Liverpool are taking the absolute fucking piss out of the league. And you know, I thought about all of those games and all of those moments and experiences up until that stage in the season. And like by that stage, we've watched our side do things that in just 5 months as well, that 99% of opposition fans will never see and never experience. And sort of from that moment and even throughout the season, I was promising myself that I wouldn't take that for granted, like continually thinking back to the feeling of being a kid and you know, Liverpool not doing this and thinking back to how it felt at the end against Wolves when we hadn't managed to get it over the line. And from there, we like, you know, we go on to beat Everton, the cup of our kids, again, taking the piss. Like, I celebrated that one to the wee hours. I think that's probably the game I celebrated most, aside from the defeat against Atletico. And that was going to be the last game that we were going to get to go to. But even the win against Spurs away felt like a big moment. The moment against United that everyone talks about where Salah seals it and Anfield erupts and we're going to win the league. Like, these were all big moments to me, but they weren't, in my head, they weren't moments that like clinched the league, because by that stage I felt like, yeah, you know, we're doing this. I had enough trust in this side that I'd known that this side hadn't sort of let us down in the previous two seasons when it came to it. And like even moments again, Wolves away, we didn't need to win that game, but it was like an incredible sort of outpouring at the end of that game and sort of walking out of the concourse. Like that was, I was sitting in the car on the way back from Wolves in that game thinking like, fucking hell, that's another proper moment that this Liverpool side have given us in this season. And I think like the pandemic's been like a bit of a reminder for me in terms of like how quickly the world can turn. And I know that's a much bigger conversation than football, but in this instance, I'm going to talk about it being a reminder, you know, centered around football to not take any of this for granted. And you know, this team and what they've achieved and what they've given us, this manager and how he's sort of made us feel, and this feeling of supporting Liverpool at the moment. I've learned to sort of, well, maybe it's taken a pandemic or I can't work out if it's just taken the pandemic or whether it's taken last season's coming so close or whether it's just been over 30 years that now this is all finally happening, that, you know, not to take any of this for granted, but also not taking for granted the fact that you're able to hug your mates in the pub when Liverpool win, or you were able to, you know, not taking for granted the fact that you're able to watch a football match with your dad, because, you know, I wasn't able to at that stage. And just really to appreciate the match day routine. And I think that'll be the same for anyone, wherever they are in the world. Like, everyone has their own routine, whether it's watching at home with their family, whether it's going to the pub and being surrounded by mates or a supporters club, or whether it's being in the ground. Like, that this sort of pandemic has altered how we consume and enjoy football so significantly. And I can't believe that I'm sort of talking in that way after waiting so long for a league title, that's the thing that sort of continually comes back to me. And I think that when we did win it, I was more sort of overwhelmed than like it being this outpouring of emotion. Like, I didn't cry. I just immediately rang my dad. Like, it was the first thing I thought to do. I rang my dad. And as I was talking to him, I remember it coming up on the screen, Liverpool are champion, our Premier League champions. And I remember seeing that and that just being like this, like hairs on the back of your neck, sort of standing up moment of like, it's real. Like, this is actually real. And, you know, I loved a sort of smaller part of the season that I loved again, sort of something that's flipped on its head, was us having to watch the footballers celebrate and not be the other way around. Like, I loved that. Like, that properly added something to how I felt when we won the league, like seeing them all bouncing around, seeing them partying, because God, they've spent the last sort of probably 2 years watching us party and celebrate big games and being able to go out after they beat Barcelona and stuff, and actually they have to go to bed because they've got a big game against Wolves, or, you know, throughout all of this, and get, you know, being able to sort of watch and soak in all the videos that they're posting and just being like absolutely made up for them. And sort of bigger picture, like, what I would give to sort of have Jurgen Klopp do his three clenched fists to the cop and be in that cop, and what I'd give to, you know, be able to give my mates a big hug at the moment that it's won, like I mentioned earlier, or even be able to celebrate that with the players in the stadium. But that just sort of makes me feel more excited for next year. Like that almost adds just another sort of thing to look forward to and another thing to be greedy about, I think. And so generally I feel content. Like I feel like this has been something that has been very irrational and has been a bit obsessive, and it's now felt, it feels like it's left my body and it's left my mind. And so far it's been brilliant being a champion, and it'll continue to be, and it's brilliant seeing people again for the first time and, you know, being able to talk about that. But ultimately, and I think everyone will sort of feel the same, that there is a 5% of unfulfillment, whether that is because I wasn't able to be in the stadium or be with people or celebrate in a certain way or whatever. But I think that just means it's next year's objective, and that means I want another one of these. And I think on this is my last point, really, is that, like, in a bigger picture, it's been a bit of a realization to me of how my life is centered around the football team and how mad that is. And I suppose, like, you know, a big aspect of that is my work. But, you know, whether it's been in the stadium this year, whether it's been watching at home, or whether it's, you know, in the garden when you know, we won the game that edged us closer to win it, and, you know, there's pyro going off in everyone's garden and you can hear people outside watching it in the gardens, and, you know, having this, like, communal experience outside in your garden watching a game that's happening a mile and a half down the road, and you can hear everyone cheering, but you're not allowed to be close to everyone, and you can hear them letting off fireworks after every goal. That was a proper moment for me that was completely different to anything I've ever experienced and ever thought I would, but that added something to this. And even sort of watching the final game social distance or outside in people's gardens, like, any way watching this Liverpool side throughout the whole of the season has been an absolute fucking pleasure.
Okay, fabulous stuff. Right, I will do me, I suppose. Liverpool have won the league more than any team has ever won the league in one season. They won it the day that you thought they'd won it, whether that was at Leicester or Man United. They win it when the fixtures are confirmed after COVID comes in, that they'll definitely go and get to win it. Then they win it when they win it. Then they win it when they lift it. We'll win it again when we're back in the ground, and we'll win it when we parade it. So we're going to win it 6 times minimum. And then you've got the games after when you think we've won it, when you're watching them play again. So, for instance, by the time we get to Wolves away, you get to win it then as well. So having beaten Man United, you then get Wolves away and you feel like you won it then. And even going to a game like Bournemouth when we've been a bit rocky, we've been defeated in Madrid, we've been defeated by Watford, we lost to Chelsea in the Cup, and then James Milner sprints to kick it off the line on 60 minutes when it was all but in the back of the net. And all of this is sort of in a really, you know, spectacular way. It's what you could always have wanted, and the scale of the achievement is absolutely huge. You know, they deserve to win it 6 times because of what they did in order to win it. They were played 27, won 26, drawn 1. And that is just frankly obscene. Like, it genuinely shouldn't be allowed out the house in public, that idea. And no one will ever do that again. You know, come and find me if anyone ever does, but no one will ever be played 27, 126, drawn 1 again. No one. It's almost anti-sport. It's so dominant. It's utterly ridiculous what they've done there. And I think that there's got to be an enormous amount of praise for the brilliance of the prep and the focus, that the procedures and the structures that were put in place, what they do in the summer when they learn from 18-19, and they do it all very, very similarly. You know, this, it helps that the fixture list breaks down the same way. And what they do in 18-19, they hone in 19-20 in a way that, you know, it is almost beyond the achievements of any football side ever. And the respect that's due to them for that, not just to the backroom staff, the manager, obviously, and everyone who worked very closely with them, but also to those players. They basically don't allow themselves to become blunted or bored. And for me, that's the most phenomenal thing. And that's the key question going into next season. And I don't mean that lightly. You know, if they do another 90-point season, they are the first top flight side ever in English football history to have 3 consecutive seasons going at more than 90 points. And, you know, when you stop to think about that, think about the fact that they have only dropped 32 points in 2 seasons. It is a genuinely staggering and remarkable thing that they've achieved. And I think a massive part of that is the spectre of Manchester City. And I think that all the way through what drives this team in a way which is phenomenal. You know, Robert mentioned there the rivalry. I still, you know, I really struggle to let Manchester City raise my ire. And the reason why is because it's sort of because of them, Liverpool are this brilliant. Liverpool become this brilliant because Manchester City were as good as Manchester City were. So everything's got to be right, and every game's a cup final, and every game matters, and every game you come out of the ground, even when it's, you know, game 24 of 123, drawn one, whichever one that was, it might have been West Ham away, I think, everyone comes out absolutely bouncing and feeling absolutely fantastic. And the reason why is because everybody is still completely wrongly, by say March, for instance, terrified Manchester City could still come with a run if anything went wrong. And what that does is, and that they've got that side's got it ingrained in them. And I hope it remains ingrained in them because it is practically unique. The idea that you could get 97 points and not win the league would break so many sets of sports people. Of any era, of any generation, of any time, it will break them. And it does the absolute opposite to our lads. It galvanises the absolute life out of them. And they refuse to take no for an answer. And, you know, Paddy mentioned before the 38 Cup Finals thing. It really shouldn't be possible for it to be a lived value, but it has been for this team. Or more accurately, it was 31 Cup Finals and then just a few games of footy that you've got to play because you won the 31 Cup Finals, so these ones are sound and you'll get on with them. And even then, they still protect the ground, as Gareth said before, about them sort of looking after the home record. And, you know, for me, the teams are almost really weirdly in this. It is personified by that win away at Wolves, which I was at with Craig, in that the extent to which, and I want to be really clear to all the listeners, me and Craig had took the draw. It's hard to put into words. We would absolutely took the draw. On 75, if you could have said, you can walk out right now, lads, with the draw, we'd have sprinted out of the ground. And yet the Liverpool team don't, because they're determined to win, because it's 38 Cup Finals. And because maybe Manchester City might win the next 15 games on the bounce, and we'd regret not taking 3 points from Wolves. And I think it's an incredible thing. And I think that to have got that in them, and I think the manager obviously plays a massive part, but I think that the players themselves, you know, the respect that's due to absolutely every single one of them and the scale of the achievement shouldn't be forgotten within that. And no one else has mentioned it, so I sort of feel obliged to. The ownership deserve credit for the way in which they've gone about everything to this point. They've got a lot wrong, but they've been part of the process that's brought us to this stage. Now, my point here isn't to say that they've been perfect, because I really don't think that they have, but what they've done is they've played an integral part in the way in which they've structured the club, worked with the club over a long period of time, and structures matter. Liverpool have done what they've done, and it's worth remembering, you know, Gareth was saying, you know, with our resource, it is worth pointing out, and it's something that I think I'm going to point out a lot across the next few weeks. Right now, we might actually have the fifth highest wage bill in world football. To have the footballers you have, they cost money. It might not be money that's being paid with transfer fees at the time, but to have the footballers that you have, they cost money. And this is, you know, these lads that we've got are on a lot of money, and that's only going to go one way as well if we want to keep hold of them. But we've been prepared to invest in that. We've been prepared to invest in that stability, into those players' happiness, to not spend our summers having battles about who's staying and who's going, to not decide that, well, we'll cut our cloth and we'll pay Mane this much and we'll pay Salah this much, but we won't pay Firmino this much. You know, the only real player I can think of to whom that might have applied is Wijnaldum, and we are actually in a really weird little situation with him this summer. Everyone else, as they've achieved, has seen the money increase markedly, and that'll be crowned with Van Dijk and Alisson over this summer as well, to get them signed to long-term deals. And I think that credit's due to that. Now, the ownership might not be the perfect ownership for the next phase of this COVID crisis, and I understand that criticism from some people, but I think, you know, there's lots of things that happened over the course of the season where people who were on the ground at Liverpool are given the free hand to do what they need to do on the playing side. So another really good example is the manager gets to do what he does with the FA Cup in the way in which he does it. And then, you know, he's got the freedom to do that. He's got the freedom to literally say, I'm not going to attend the match. And the proudest I've been at any Liverpool performance this season is Shrewsbury at home, in terms of how the crowd responded to those players, how those players responded, and what Neil Critchley did as manager was genuinely, like, if you couldn't walk out of that ground 10 foot tall that day, you've got no interest in football, let alone Liverpool Football Club. And I think that things like that matter massively. And it's because there's a general sense of structure, of organisation, of respect within all of this, that people are left to do their bit of their job. And I think that that's something that we can overlook when we talk about a lot of different factors, but it's the case where Liverpool are concerned and they're allowed to cut loose and be able to do what they do. For me, I think that a lot of it stems from the parade the year before as well. I think that that was a massive boost for the entire football club. And, you know, the last key question is whether or not they can repeat it if they can do the thing. And I'm convinced that they can. I'm convinced that they'll want to have won it with people present in the ground. They'll want one go of that. Everyone involved at the football club will want one go of that. I don't think it'll be easy. And I think that there's, you know, there's a lot of challenges that are there now. You know, I think the challenge is enormous, and that, you know, those players are going to have to find themselves. And I take John's point when he interviews James Milner, that James Milner's up for it. I've got no shadow of a doubt, but we are talking about 25 different personalities. And, you know, I'm sure the manager will get it right and get them to find the best of themselves. But I think the most important thing is I want them to go to bed at night every night thinking that they're champions, but also that Manchester City could go and get 100 points. And I think it's really important Liverpool think Manchester City can get 100 points, because I think if Liverpool think Manchester City can get 100 points, then they can take every game as a cup final, create their own luck, because they are lucky at times through the season. That Wolves away game I mentioned, Jota misses a very, very serviceable chance right in front of me and Craig, and with 2 minutes to go, he probably should score. But he misses it, so Liverpool win the game 2-1. You know, so they'll need to be a bit lucky again, because they were a bit lucky. But for me, what defines you isn't whether or not you're lucky. All football teams are lucky. It's how you ride your luck, how you take advantage of the opportunities that come to you, and how you become so strong and so formidable that you can't be stopped. And they were played 27, won 26 and drawn 1. They are the best football team there's ever been. Should we stop there?
I thought you had. I thought that was like a big...
It was a big, yeah, crescendo.
No, I mean, I've stopped.
And I thought that was the end of the show.
Well, it can be. I mean, we could edit it, or we can leave this bit in and they can see behind the curtain. Let them see behind the curtain.
It felt like a big end.
Go
on.
I was going to say, when you said, like, no team has done 90 points plus 3 times in a row, and so it'd be a wonderful thing... Your take from that was, so it'd be a wonderful thing if this team can do. When I heard that, I just thought, it just shows how it's dead hard. and that was my take. And I'm sorry, I didn't like Amelia's Man City chat before. That got under me as well, like saying, oh, they can't hack it. I'm like, oh, maybe it's just dead hard to do it 3 seasons in a row. And yeah, both of you have made me terribly nervous for next year. That's all I want to say.
Okay.
I don't know, mockers all over the shop.
No, I think it would be dead hard. And I think if they do, and let's be honest about this, they could also do it 3 years in a row and only end up with one title. That's very possible. Yeah. It's very possible to get 93 and City get 98. And we're all sat here going, remember Akko said that? Well, it doesn't feel like it's not silverware in the cabinet, is it? But if they do it, you know, if they do it, then I think it just sort of shows that's a level of sustained excellence. And there's a European Cup, you know, they dropped 32 points and they've won a European Cup in amongst that.
Yeah.
I think it's incredible. I genuinely think it's like...
They haven't done it yet.
No, but what I mean is in the previous 2 seasons, they've only dropped 32 points and they've won a European Cup. Yeah. And I genuinely think that because of everything that's gone on, and also because of the way in which we now sort of look at football, but also maybe it just never happens at the time properly anyway. But I think the sheer brilliance of them really is, you know, if in many ways, one of the reasons why the sheer brilliance of them has gone sort of missed is because of the 30-year thing. Like, it's a bigger story to talk about the 30-year thing, which I completely get for everyone, that it is to say, this is unbelievable what these people have done for 2 years. If we'd won the league in 13-14 and got it out the way, all everyone would talk about now is how unreal is this football team.
Yeah.
But instead, it's become the 30-year thing.
That's what I was going to say to you, in that, you know, there's lots of talk about, oh, yeah, you know, City are more than capable of doing X and Y, and I get that. And, there's a small corner of the world getting very excited about, you know, what Manchester United have been doing when they've been beating loads of shit teams. And there's another small corner that's been getting excited about Chelsea and Frank Lampard, even though he keeps losing really important football matches. So I just wondered what you think happens, like, in those clubs when they're realistically trying to motivate their players against a Liverpool side that has got 97, that has got 99, that has just won the league by 18 points, and that is 33 points ahead of fourth. Do you know what I mean? Like... When you're going in there and having your pre-season meeting with players, which I presume is one big massive meeting where they go, right, lads, what's happening this year is X. And like all of a sudden you're saying to them, well, you know, you lost 9 last year. You know, you lost 8 last year. You know, you lost 12 last year, Chelsea. Well, next year you've got to lose none or 1. You know what I mean?
I think this Liverpool side, so there's something, all the loads of games to be mentioned. after Sheffield United at home, Chris Wilder comes out and says what he says. And a lot of us were all actually almost genuinely touched by it in a really strange way. But yeah. I think those conversations have been going on inside football clubs for ages, like for way before. I'm trying to think of a really good example of a game that's in quite early on in the season where I think so Leicester come to Anfield. Forget the one at their gaff. When they come to Anfield, Leicester, they have the first shot on 60. And everyone said afterwards, Leicester played really well, you know. Yeah. Rodgers set Leicester up to just do everything he could to alleviate the pressure on their own defence and stop Liverpool where possible. Rodgers isn't a perfect football manager, far from it, but he's not a stupid person. And I think that this is one of the things that goes on. Everyone says, why does anyone ever have a go against Liverpool? And it's because all their analysts, all the coaching staff are saying, this is how you just stay in the game against them, lads. Let's do that before we have a go against them. This is how you hang in. And I think that there might be a little bit more of a plan to how to play against Liverpool might start to sort of create itself if we don't get ahead of that curve. But I think that within football, within people who are looking after football teams and football clubs, people who are in football people properly know what the level of this team is and know how close to unbeatable it is. People who played against them know exactly how much they dominate you and how much they can just put you to bed, how much they can keep you in your own final third for half an hour, and you've got no idea how it's happening, really, but your whole team's gone to shit around you and you're just trying to do your job to the best of your ability. And I think that that's, you know, as I say, I think that when this team, the documentaries on this team, I think will be really interesting. When you get, you know, in years to come, when you get, the 2-1 against City last season, Fernandinho and company were both rightly praised for the performance, but company should have been sent off first half. And both of them, I think, get yellows, and they're both absolutely in the red for the whole of that match. They're just everything's last ditch, everything's lunges. And they get the result because they scrap for it, City, and they deserve it. But Liverpool put that City team that got 98 points and 100 points the day before, they put them through the absolute ringer in that game, through the absolute ringer. And they made them, you know, give, like, they almost crawled off the pitch. And I think in years to come, if this side does win, say, two more titles on the bounce, say, and then the documentaries do start to happen, then suddenly Vincent Kompany's on from Belgium saying they're the best football team I've ever faced. And that's the sort that, because that's what I think they said about them in football. In football, it is these, if not the best football team you've ever faced, the hardest, the toughest football team you've ever faced. And that's what I think everyone's saying.
Get in!
We will end it there. John, Craig, Gareth. Paddy, Amelia, take it easy. It's the Anfield Rap. They won the league. Sports Social Podcast Network.